in our Hebrews reading, brethren, sisters, we're told to suffer the word of exhortation. And so I'll ask Brother Simon to come forward. To give us that word, isn't it?
Well, I was going to say thank you for the warm welcome. Come with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, Friday's reading. What I want to talk about this morning, brethren and sisters, is faith. The effects of faith and what affects our faith. And like we've heard this morning, haven't we, of those children who've been fed by that seemingly small donation for a year, they've been fed, haven't they? And that's affected our faith, hasn't it? It's uplifted us. It's given us a boost, hasn't it? And if ever there was a chapter that talks about faith, I think you'd all agree that Hebrews chapter 11 does that for us, doesn't it? The whole chapter is full of faith, isn't it? Of these faithful characters left on record for each one of us to learn from. Just look at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And if we go just a few verses down to verse 6, we're told, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, and he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it got me thinking about faith. It's an important part, isn't it, of our discipleship. And yet our faith, it's up and down, isn't it? It's, I suppose what they would say today, it's a variable. Come with me to Exodus. And it was no different in the days of Moses, was it? Because the children of Israel, their faith also, it was up and down, wasn't it? Just come with me to Exodus chapter 14. And I was going to say we know the story, but it's not a story, is it? It's an actual account of what really happened. In Exodus chapter 14, we've got the children of Israel. They're leaving Egypt, aren't they, now? And the Egyptians are in hot pursuit of them. And we have in verse 11, and they cried unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And you can imagine the children of Israel, and would we be any different? Probably not. They've been brought out of Egypt now, and they was in hot pursuit. The Egyptians were up behind them, wasn't they? And now they've almost come, as it were, to a dead end. They're on the edge of the Red Sea. And you could say their faith is in the valleys, isn't it? Why have you brought us out here, Moses? There are no graves, are there? Are there not graves in Egypt? And yet, what does Moses say to them? Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more again and forever. Moses tells the people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's what we're to do this morning, isn't it, brethren and sisters? We're to stand still and to see our salvation of the Lord wrought in the Lord Jesus Christ. But just come on with me, just a few verses to verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The sea was separated, wasn't it? A path was made, wasn't it? A path was made to their salvation, wasn't it? They were to be saved. But did you notice what it said? It was by a strong east wind. Now, I know where you're going, so we'll go to Genesis chapter 3. Talking about the east and a path to the tree of life. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. And we know the account of Adam and Eve, how they partook of the fruit and they went against God's commandment, didn't they? And they were sent out from the Garden of Eden. And verse 24, so he drove out man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And not so long ago, we had Brother Graham Parker speaking at our meeting. And after his exhortation, we was talking about this verse. And Brother Graham brought a lovely point out to me. He said, you notice this verse? He said, to keep the way of the tree of life. He said, swords mainly, he said, are used for destruction and warfare. He said, but this sword was used to keep the way of the tree of life. And that got me thinking, brethren and sisters. It got me thinking of our reading in Hebrews. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. You see, brethren and sisters, like Moses at the Red Sea and the children of Israel, that would have had an impact on their faith, wouldn't it? They would have seen these waters separate before them and a way made to life because they faced destruction, didn't they? But the flaming sword in Genesis would have had an effect on those who saw it, wouldn't it, brethren and sisters? Who would have seen that flaming sword that kept the way to the tree of life? I'm going to make a suggestion, brethren and sisters, and this is my suggestion. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. And we've got Abel here, haven't we? He makes it into Hebrews chapter 11. By faith. That got me thinking. Think about Abel. Well, back again to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2, talking about Adam and Eve, and she bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. From verse 2 to the end of verse 8 is Abel's life. What was it in Abel's life that gets him into Hebrews chapter 11? We're not given much information about Abel, are we? Abel, we know, was the fourth person to walk on this earth. The example of his parents. It wasn't the best, was it? And why do I say that, brethren and sisters? Well, I say that because Adam lived 930 years. And yet we have no record of Adam's life after chapter 5 and the birth of Seth, his eldest son. No record for some 800 years of Adam's life. We know Abel was a keeper of sheep. We know from the reading we've had in Hebrews that Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God. We know that Abel hadn't a Bible like you and me to read. In fact, not a single word that Abel utters is recorded in the Bible. And yet Abel in his short life makes it into Hebrews chapter 11. How did Abel develop his faith in God? What do you think it was that infused Abel's faith? Because if we can find the key to that question, surely it can help infuse our faith today. So let's just ponder, let's just stand still and think about faith for a moment. What do we know about faith? Well, we know without faith it's impossible to please the Father, isn't it? We've read that in Hebrews 11, verse 6. We've mentioned that faith is a variable, isn't it? It changes. You see, brethren and sisters, we're all at different stages in our common faith, aren't we, together? Some, as you would say this morning, are on the mountaintops. But others might be in the depths of the valley. Think about Abel. He would also have had the highs and the lows, the same as you and me. Surely Abel would have considered, would have pondered about what had happened. He would have pondered the actions of his parents. Surely as he was taking his flock out, he would have been thinking and pondering and considering the actions of his parents and the effect that they had upon Abel. You see, we all have an effect upon each other, don't we? In a positive and maybe sometimes in a negative sense. You see, I feel sure, brethren and sisters, that Abel would have pondered on and even seen or heard of this flaming sword on the east gate, keeping the way to the tree of life. Do you think whilst Abel was driving his sheep around the hillsides and the valleys, he would have reflected on creation and noticed that only the earth was cursed? And although a gulf had been made between his parents, between man and God, yet still the Father provided in his creation. Whatever Abel's thoughts were, he was moved to take action, wasn't he? He was moved to do something about it. And we've got it recorded, haven't we? In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. By faith, Abel was moved to make a difference. So this morning, brethren and sisters, as we sit here together, if I was to ask you, how's your faith this morning? What reply would you give me? Would you be like brother and sister one? You're just baptised. You've got a can-do attitude for the truth. You're eager to help in whatever way you can, to take an active role in every part of the meeting. Basically, you're infused with reading, with understanding, and putting into practice God's word. I suppose you could say you're like a Caleb or a Joshua. You've got a can-do-it attitude. Or maybe you're like our next brother and sister. You've been in the truth for a while now. Yes, you attend every meeting. You're still enthusiastic on a Sunday and get involved in most of the meetings, but not all as you once did. You see, work and a busy family life have eaten into your time. You managed to get to most of the meetings in a bodily form, but your mind tends to drift far more easily than what it used to. You're not of the world, but when you have a bit of what they call me time, you know how to use it unprofitably. Or maybe you're like our next brother and sister. You set out with the best of intentions, but problems at work or problems at home, or even problems in the meeting, have really given your faith a battering. Maybe you feel like this brother and sister after a rough business meeting. To the point you wonder, is it all worth it? And at times, you're close to packing it all in. Maybe you're like my next brother and sister. You've been in the truth for a while now. You have a deep understanding of the truth. You appreciate the faith and the hope you have like never before. Why? Well, you see, you've had a lot of what we call life experience. So nothing's new under the sun, as they would say. You've seen God's providence working out in your life over the years. But unfortunately, you have more days behind you than what you have in front of you from a natural point of view. This has caused you to hold on to your faith like never before. For you realise that this is your only real and true hope that's left. And I gave this exhortation last week, and a sister came up to me and she said, I like your analogies of the three four brethren and sisters. She said, I only wish that I'd done more when I was younger. That's something to think about, isn't it, brethren and sisters? I only wish I'd done more when I was younger. You see, when you consider it, brethren and sisters, faith can be at times quite fickle. And we need to remember that God's word is a lamp unto our feet, as the psalmist puts it, and a light unto our path. We need to keep that lamp burning bright, feeding it with the oil of God's word, so that it leads us by God's mercy and grace, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, to a time when this earth will be restored to a state as what was described in Genesis. Remember what God said at the end of each day? And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Abel, by standing still and considering and meditating on these matters, made an offering by faith, didn't he? Of the best he had. Do we give our best? Do we stop and consider? Do we meditate on God's word and his ways? Do we give our best not one day in seven, but 7 days in seven? Come back with me to Hebrews. Just look at the characters we have here in Hebrews. And we read them so well, don't we? So easily it is to read them. And I read a lovely phrase in one of the commentaries. It said this: men and women who altered their lives, who turned around their lives. They wasn't born faithful servants, but turned around their lives and became faithful servants. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Think about Noah, brethren and sisters. Genesis chapter 6. The faith of Noah. Not after he built the ark or whilst he was building the ark, but look at the faith Noah must have had before he was called upon to build the ark. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that the every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, who I have created from the face of this earth, both man and beast and creeping things, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, a righteous man, and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We read these words so easily, don't we, brethren and sisters? But just stop, just consider Noah for just a moment. Before the calling to build the ark, and we know that it took him 120 years to build the ark, didn't it? That's interesting, isn't it? Because if we look at verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That was a lifetime, wasn't it, for Noah? A lifetime, a man's lifetime was to be 120 years. Noah didn't realise, or didn't know at the time, did he, that he was to live 950 years. We got it recorded, haven't we, in Genesis 9 and verse 28. What a faith this man had. These characters, like Abel, like Noah, they were infused, wasn't they, with serving our Father. They stood still, they considered, they meditated. And they made a difference, didn't they, brethren and sisters? And yet, brethren and sisters, when we consider it, when we stop still and think about it, brethren and sisters, the greatest difference on the destiny of man was made by the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it? Through our Heavenly Father. When you consider the life of the Lord, who knew from an early age what was set before him, and yet never wavered. Yes, at times separated himself and went into the mountains to meditate, to ponder, to consider, but always returned, or is going to return, to fulfill his Father's plan of salvation for man. The Lord Jesus Christ had a positive effect on most of those around him. Even when he experienced the rawest edge of human nature, he fulfilled his Father's will. Remember the Lord when he was washing their feet, and he knew what Judas was going to do, and yet still humbled himself. What an example, brethren and sisters. How these men, Abel, Noah, and Jesus. We know Abel, he was a faithful man who was moved to offer a sacrifice. Noah was a faithful man moved with fear to build the ark. And Jesus was moved by faith to make a difference. And it got me thinking, brethren and sisters, what changes would we make in our lives in connection with our faith? What would we do if the Lord was to visit us? Well, you probably know Brother Jack Gardner or have heard of him. And he did a poem on what changes we would make if the Lord was to visit us. And I'd just like to read this poem out for you. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder, what would you do? Oh, I know you give him your nicest room to such an honoured guest, and all the food you served him, it would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there. But serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they had been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard, and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? Would your family's conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sung and read the books you read, and let him know the things upon which your mind and spirit fed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you had planned to go? Or would you maybe change your plans just for a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when at last he was gone? It might be interesting to know the things you would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you. So when your faith is in the valleys, or even on the mountaintops, we need to Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Thank you for listening.